Well, if you came this morning ready to hear a Mother's Day sermon, I forgot it was Mother's Day about 2 weeks before I was planning the sermon and realized about a Wednesday, I was like, you know what? Sunday's Mother's Day and I don't have a Mother's Day sermon, but I'm going to give you what God has placed on my heart. We're going to continue the sermon series Following Jesus. I normally do one kind of parenting sermon a year anyway, so I guess it's going to be on Father's Day. So just mark your calendar and make sure you're here. Father's Day is always a special day around here. For one, we celebrate our fathers, and my first Sunday as your pastor was on Father's Day. And this year will be 20 years ago. And so it's going to kind of be cool. So I was able to talk to a bunch of people and my family and stuff this week. And at the old church that we were in, and they were like, how long have you been gone? I said, 20 years. And they were like, how many churches have you pastored in that time? And I went, one. And they're like, that's not normal. And it's not, but it's God. And I remember when Jenna asked me when I got here, the first day I was here, we were standing at the back of the old church, and we opened it up to questions, and Jenna goes, so how long are you going to be here? Because the former pastor had only been here about 4 years and kind of blindsided him and left. And she was not happy. And so she was like, well, how long are you going to be here? And I said, I'll be here until God tells me to leave or you kick me out. So there you go. It's awesome. All right. So today we're going to talk about following Jesus. This is the fourth one. We've spent the last 3 weeks talking about how Jesus is going to help us reconstruct our hearts. And we looked at the Beatitudes. And we looked at how we need to have the same attitudes as Christ. And as He reconstructs our hearts, it's going to help us to behave like Christ, to think like Christ, to have a mind like Christ. And so, today we're going to talk about what happens when we start having that reconstructed heart. Satan likes to stir the pot. Okay? You find Christ, you decide you want to start following Him, and then Satan, he just starts stirring the pot, and stuff's going to go wrong, and you're probably going to have some conflicts in your life, whether it be with family, friends, co-workers, people you go to school with, whatever. You're going to start having that. And so today, I thought we would talk a little bit about defusing conflict as the next step. We want our hearts to be reconstructed, and then we want God to help us defuse some of the conflicts that we're going to have. And again, some of those conflicts are going to be at your work, at your school, in your homes, and even in church. All right? Because I'll be honest with you, we're all a different group of people. There are people in this room that if you didn't go to church here, you probably wouldn't associate with. And that's not bad. We just have different personalities. We live in different areas. But we come here because we want to be close to a family of God and be a part of a church that's making a difference in the city in which we live. So, stand with me this morning. And if you've been here the last 3 weeks, as we read this passage, there are parts of it where it sounds like Peter is kind of paraphrasing the Beatitudes. Okay? So, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to put these words to practice. As we have different conflicts and disagreements in our lives, whether it between spouses or families or the church, help us to be Christ-like in all that we do. Help us to learn to diffuse the conflicts that Satan tries to stir up within us. Give us your mind and your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a Peanuts cartoon, and Lucy says to Snoopy, "There are times when you really bug me, but I must admit there are also times when I feel like giving you a big hug." And Snoopy replies, "That's just the way I am. Huggable and buggable." And so it is in our relationships with each other. Every relationship. Husband, wife, mom, dad, kids. You have to figure out how to live together in peace, in respect, in harmony, as God helps us. We need each other, and yet there are times when we annoy each other. We're kind of like those two porcupines that were together on a cold night, and they were trying to get warm as they slept, but the closer they got together, they started to poke each other. And so there's like, this ain't working, so they've moved apart. And they got cold, and so they came together a little bit more, but again, they started to poke one another, and they got away from each other. They needed each other, but they also needled each other. And that's the way it is in our lives. Today's notes are a little bit different for you. You're going to fill out the point, and then whatever hits you that I say that God has given to me for your circumstance that you may be going through today, you take your own notes under each main point this morning. I'm not going to direct you to what I think you need to hear. I want you to listen to God and what He puts on your heart as you listen to what we're going to talk about this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's talking to the church. It's his first letter to the church. And he's talked in the first 7 verses of this passage to husbands and wives and the way they need to treat each other. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, finally, all of you. He says, everybody in this room, you need to learn how to love each other, how to forgive one another, how to be sympathetic. You need to figure out how to live together in harmony. We need unity of the body as the church so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so as we try to follow Jesus, these things are really important. And so the first one I'm going to give you today, there's 5 of them. The first one I'm going to give you is we need to walk in another's shoes. There's an old Indian proverb that says, I'm not going to criticize my brother until I've walked a mile in his moccasins. You know, I'm not going to do it. We need to be sympathetic towards what maybe some people are going through. They may say something that we don't like, but we have to step back at times and try to figure out what's going on in their lives. It's hard to do at times. We have to try to remember to, as he says, to say the right things, to make sure that we do things in the proper order. I blew it this week. I got in the middle of a conversation and said something. Number one, I said something I shouldn't have said, and I said something in a way that I shouldn't have said it. And I messed up. And when there's emotions running and everything else, things get, you know, and I'm not going to say they get blown out of proportion because this didn't. I said it. I messed up. But I asked for forgiveness. I was given forgiveness. And we move on. And that's the way that God helps us to walk in others' shoes. When we're sympathetic, we seek to understand where people are coming from. Sometimes it's the difference between their background and our background, their temperament, our temperament. There are people that have type A personalities, type B personalities, and then there's some people that we don't even know what type of personality they have, you know, and we don't know how to deal with some people, but we have to take a step back and really ask ourselves, why did they react the way they did? Why did I react the way I did? And it helps us resolve some issues that we have when they're there. Second one this morning is remember, especially this one in the church, remember that you're on the same team. We're all working. If you're in a workplace and you're working towards a common goal, if you're in a school and you're trying to get to a certain point, if you're at church and we're trying to do something together, again, lots of different personalities, temperaments. We have to remember that we're on the same team. Peter is saying that we're all the church. We're in, at the beginning of the chapter, we're in this marriage together. Let's do this right. In these verses, we're the church. Let's remember that we're the church. We don't compete with each other. We complement each other. We minimize the conflict by maximizing the cooperation that we can have together. Teammates display three important actions, and this passage shows us that they are love, compassion, and humility. Love says, I'll look out for the other teammate's best interests. It says, let's stop attacking each other and attack the problem. And, you know, again, at this point in our church, I don't know of a whole lot of problems. There's always going to be little things that are running through any group of people of any size. But we have to choose to say, Jesus is bigger than my goals, my wants, and I can handle anything through Christ who gives me strength. So, compassion says let's not just talk about loving each other, but let's demonstrate it in the way we act towards each other. So walk in their shoes. Remember we're on the same team. Give a blessing. In relationships, there are going to be times of disagreement and conflict. We face a choice when that happens. We can choose to retaliate and take revenge, or we can choose to forgive. Conflict is like a small fire next to which each person stands holding two buckets. One bucket's full of gasoline and the other's full of water. You're going to put the fire out, or are you going to add to it? That's where, and when we don't add to it, when we put the fire out, we're giving a blessing. And we're getting a blessing of forgiveness from not only them, but possibly from God if we need it. We just need to give people some slack sometimes. And that's the blessing. The fourth one may be the hardest. You knew this was coming because it talks about the one who wants to live a good life is going to control their tongue. Well, that's this one. You got to learn to control your tongue. The signs of aging are not the same as the signs of maturing. Some people never grow up as they get older. How do we know if we mature? The mark of spiritual maturity and emotional maturity is the ability to master the mouth, to watch our words, to tame our tongue. Peter is saying that is the best way to diffuse conflict is to control our verbal reactions. How many times have you just blurted something out in the middle of a heated situation and you wish you could grab it and bring it right back? And it's hard, but we have to learn to do it. Like I said, I blew it this week. Things are going, and if you really want the story, I'll tell you the story. I'm not afraid to admit it, but it's just, it's something that happens to all of us. We have to be careful. In failing to control our tongue, we not only fail to give a blessing, but we cause hurt that can rupture relationships. Words can wound. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Never has there ever been a more false statement in the world. Words can really hurt, It can do damage that you can't see. We need to choose our words wisely and well. There's going to be times when we say something wrong, though. And when we do, we need to ask Jesus to forgive us. And then we need to go to the person that we've said them to and ask them for forgiveness also. I don't know about you. I know this about a couple people, though. They hate to go and say they're sorry. I don't know about you. Do you hate to have to go tell somebody you're sorry? Well, if you hate to say you're sorry, then think about what you say before you say it, so you don't have to say you're sorry. You'll win both ways, all right? And last one is pursue peace. There are stuff that happens that we need to figure out, and we need to make sure that we're doing it in a peaceful way, the way God wants us to do it. And, you know, there's sometimes when things are going really good, and some personalities are like, well, I just don't like it when everything's going perfect, because then I can't come in and solve the problem. So I'm going to stir up some trouble so that I can put out a fire. Well, I don't know what year it was, but the Fort Worth Star paper reported that in Giona, Texas, the firefighters were accused of deliberately setting 40 destructive fires. And when they were caught, they said, well, we didn't have anything else to do, so we wanted to drive the truck. And I've been in churches where people were fire starters. And we don't want to be that. We want to be people that pursue the peace. We want to be people that see how to resolve and diffuse the conflict, not start it. To do that, we have to pursue peace with our passion in our relationships. Peacemakers don't wring their hands when conflict arises easy and say, I don't care. That's apathy. Peacemakers don't stick their heads in the sand. That's avoidance. Peacemakers don't let people have their own way while avoiding confrontation. That's appeasement. Peacemakers intentionally seek reconciliation. They agree to disagree agreeably. And that's what we need to do if we're going to pursue the peace. Some of these mean something, all of these can mean something to all of us. Maybe one hits you more than the other one. But there's five steps of diffusing conflict in our lives. We just have to be intentional about doing it. And why do we want to do it? Well, your application is simply this. Why diffuse conflict? I truly believe that it shows we belong to God. People that aren't Christians, people that don't know who Jesus is, there's a lot of people out there that don't know Christ that thrive on conflict. They thrive on making people miserable. They like to have that power over people. We don't want that because we belong to the God who gives us peace. And let's just make sure we do that. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. I thank you that you gave us a list of attitudes to have so that we could be like you. And as we choose to follow you and to try to be like you, I pray that you would help us to be able to diffuse the conflict, to not let Satan stir the pot so much that it messes our relationship up with you or the people that we love. Help us to do things that would bring people closer to you, to bring unity to the body, and to make not only this church, but our homes and our workplaces, a place where our light shines and people see you in everything that we do. Help us to be more like you as we follow you as close as we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.